Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow. And with me on this episode is Thaxos.
Hey.
Misha Kitty.
Hey, everyone.
Dark Hiram.
All right, all right, all right.
And our special guest this month, our club quartermaster, Corey Snaps.
Hi.
All right, so we actually, somehow, surprisingly to me, and it really shouldn't be surprising because there's a lot of cool stuff always going on in this club, we actually have a lot of stuff to talk about this time. Just to get into this, we'll start with you, Corey. Obviously you've been with the club for quite a while. You've been pretty instrumental with our past several celebrations. You're very instrumental with MercsCon and all of the merch and everything having to do with all of the stuff we sell to, for the benefit of charities and the club. But, tell us a bit about you. How'd you get in on this?
My husband, actually, Ken Snaps, he became a member and dragged me to a con, and I ended up getting hooked just by meeting a bunch of people out there in Eustapir Clan. So I joined when we moved to, when we moved to Kentucky and joined, Best Elite Clan, and I joined the clan. I became official in January 2013, and I was the quartermaster in May of that same year, and I've been doing the same thing ever since, even though we're, you know, now we're in Burnar Verda territory. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and it's a job that I really enjoy doing, and I've kind of built it to the point where I might not be allowed to quit ever, because no one wants to do the job now.
Yeah, well, the quartermaster job, it's not easy, for sure. Yeah. I back when I joined up, the prior quartermaster, Arden Fisk, she was up in Wampa Clan. She was a founding member of Wampa, and yeah, I remember the handover when she decided to stop doing it and it moved over on that side. Like one of the main reasons why she was the quartermaster of the club at the time was because her apartment was like 2 blocks away from the post office in town. That was really the biggest that was the biggest qualification at the time.
Yeah, I actually don't live that close to the post office, but we upgraded our I have so much going out now compared to what Arden Fisk did. I mean, she got me started, or got everything started, but you know, things picked up in the last few, you know, 5 years. Now I actually,
the club's grown just
crazy now.
So now I have the post office picking everything up from my house because there's just so much stuff. And they give me tubs, like the lady, or my mail lady, she's awesome. She brings me mail tubs every time. So I leave my mail tubs full of mail out there. And when she comes by, I end up with 2 empty ones.
Nice.
Yeah, I think your job, speaking as another council member, because I get a little more insight into what all you do, your job is definitely distinct from all the other council positions because it has a physical component that can't be separated really from your job. Mm-hmm. And as a result, it requires a whole lot more from the council member in terms of a physical aspect. Yep. Whereas, you know, like tech, I hop on a computer is all I need. You know, every other council position, everything's done via computer. But for you, you've got the physical handling of merchandise and shipping and everything.
Yeah,
so
we cut a hole.
Definitely unique job.
We cut a hole in the wall under our stairs to create a closet, and 99% of the stuff in there is Mercs. It's like all Mercs merch and like shipping supplies and a Christmas tree. And that's all that's in that closet.
That's hilarious.
I really also think that, you know, sometimes people don't realize just how hard you work, Corey. Having been to your house and having seen that giant closet of like Merc's Wonderland, that's that takes a lot to order and pack and organize and get out to people. And I think people don't always understand that that's not your day job, you know, like it's not like you're hired to do that. And I think you do an amazing job, not just keeping all that running, but you also are responsible for a lot of the Merck's marketing and the art team and keeping an eye on all that and interfacing with a lot of the folks who, you know, if they're having a problem with some of their stuff, they go running to you immediately. And I just, you have always handled everything with such grace and patience. And I think we're really lucky to have you.
There is a lot more than just storing all that stuff under the stairs. I mean, half of the stuff that's in there is probably stacks and stacks of empty boxes that are just waiting to be filled with whatever. I bought them for hats, I think, and then I get bought more for more hats, and I use them for compacts and stuff like that. And then there's boxes of envelopes in all shapes and sizes. I've got a whole, like, Ken built me secretaries in the living room, and I have a whole secretary full of stamps and shipping labels and tape. There's tape everywhere. I keep finding rolls of packing tape, like, in the most random places. I think my kids keep moving them around. But then on top of that, I mean, I get on the computer and I've got to order all the banners and the business cards and the tablecloths and stuff like that for the clan so that they can all have what they need. And when we need to replenish the stuff, like handler buttons and compact stuff, that all has to be ordered and shipped here and stored in the black hole O-Mercs. And then, you know, my team has grown from, it used to be three people, and now I think I've got close to 10 for moderators and people who help answer questions when, you know, for customer service purposes. And I've got people who, I've got somebody working for the brigades to do just their merch. And I've got guys who are working right now on trying to come up with a whole bunch of stuff, not just for MercsCon, but also for the next celebration so that we can get on top of it. I'll have a whole bash team, which I've had the last two celebrations. Like, I end up planning so much stuff also. This could probably be a full-time job if I didn't have school and kids and Annabelle's school and keeping my house and whatever else it is I do around here all day. Oh, and I decided to hand make all my Christmas presents this year too, so I'm working on that as well. So
you got that started already, right?
Well, I had to. I have three brothers and sisters plus my parents, and then my husband has three brothers and sisters, and like a bunch of us are married, and so I end up with this huge long list plus the kids, and I was like, well, if I start now, maybe I'll have it all done by December.
I am not that ambitious.
Just a few things in your spare time, then.
Yeah, just a few
things.
That's why I don't have a real full-time job, is because I've got all these other things that keep me busy. I don't need that. Oh, and I've been moderating for the Ladies of the Legions too, as one of the representatives from the Mercs. So there's that as well. Took on something else.
I don't think we've talked about Ladies of the Legion on the podcast before.
I believe we've mentioned them in passing, but yeah, we've never really talked about that. What is the Ladies of the Legions for the many of us who aren't super informed on that?
The Ladies of the Legions is a Facebook group, and we have a forum. It's only for women. No boys allowed. Like, you have to identify as a woman, and we're very specific about that, that you have to identify as a woman because you don't have to have been born one in order to join. But it's mostly just a resource for women who want to ask questions or get, you know, or see templates or whatever that are specific to costuming for women. I know that there are a lot of stormtroopers out there who have troubles with the armor because it comes in one size, and then this 5'2" girl who really wants to be a stormtrooper gets her armor and the chest piece is like down to her knees or something. So there's tips about how to get it all trimmed and stuff, and there are a lot of, and then they can ask questions that they might not want to ask the guys. You know, like, nobody wants to talk about their underwear, but it's an important part of costuming for women.
Sure.
And nobody wants to talk about what happens when you're pregnant, or, you know, if you have to run to the bathroom, or if you want to try to breastfeed your child or things like that. So it's a kind of, I don't want to call it a safe space, because I don't feel like the majority of the men in the Star Wars costuming world are would be a threat to the women, but I think it's more of a place where they can feel more comfortable knowing that they're asking other women who have experienced the same things. And
yeah,
I mean, no offense to these guys, to you guys, but I don't think I'd ask any of you about a breast binder. Like I'd find some, I'd go and ask them instead.
Yeah, it's not my area of expertise.
Well, and you know, it's sometimes we have people that get a little bent out of shape. I've seen some posts on Facebook pop up and say like, well, why is it important? You know, why is there a girls only thing? And the answer is there really are some things that we need to be able to talk about. And as Corey said, in a place where we feel comfortable doing that. I know a lot of girls who will not talk about their girl time, their however you want to call it, whether you want to call it their period, their time in the month, whatever, they will not talk about that in front of men. And I also know a lot of men who are not comfortable with it, and that's totally okay. It's really lovely to have a place where we can have those conversations and you don't have to worry about someone jumping in and saying, oh, that's gross, or I don't want to read that or whatever. Again, not that the lovely guys that are on the podcast with us or many of our members would even do that. I'm not making any assumptions, but we all know how the internet works, right? We all know that the internet is not always the friendliest of places. So it's really great for girls to be able, and women of all shapes, sizes, ages, to be able to ask those questions, because there are things that we may not feel comfortable asking in the normal forums or around men.
We've also been able to advocate for women who may have had an issue and not wanted to speak up because, you know, maybe the person she had an issue with was in her chain of command or something like that. When people have been able to express concerns about large crowds and possibly being harassed by men and how they can handle it. And I'm not saying that women don't harass men, because, you know, we all know that that happens. But a lot of times the women, they don't feel like they can have a voice because there are so many men involved in costuming. And sometimes it just gives, we as a group are able to give them the confidence they need to go ahead and open their mouths and raise their hands and say, yeah, you know what, this guy over here or this girl, you know, was doing something and I didn't like it.
Sounds like a very good group.
That's a big thing. See, I thought, like, I was vaguely aware of the Ladies of the Legions because my wife, Ark, has been on, she's looked on there for costuming tips and all that sort of stuff that it provides. But yeah, I didn't really know the full extent of it, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, we try to do good things for women, and I know that a lot of the men complain about it, but for the most part, the ladies have all said that they appreciate having a place to go to not have to worry about being judged by men. And I mean, some men don't care. I mean, if they want to talk about, you know, blood and breast milk and God only knows what, then, you know, that's great. But some people just need, some women need a safe place to talk about it and not feel judged. So we gave it to them. Or Nikki did.
All right.
And hey, here's just a thought from another woman to all of you guys out there and other ladies. Maybe try being a little supportive of it. You know, Corey just said we know a lot of guys out there kind of criticize it. I don't necessarily know if there's a frothing mass of men who feel like women shouldn't have their own space, but look, there are things that we are more comfortable talking about with other ladies. And honestly, let's be real for a second and talk about the fact that girl culture is not very supportive. Unfortunately, a lot of women tear each other down.
God, we're so mean.
I know. They are really mean. And you know something? Like, this is something that we are kind of taught from birth. Like, we will see a pretty woman, and a lot of times the first thought in another woman's mind is not, wow, that woman is smoking hot. The first thought is, who does that girl think she is wearing all that makeup? Or, oh my God, I can't believe she's wearing that outfit. And I'm not really sure where that gets programmed into our head. I don't know if maybe it's a survival thing to tear down the competition. Probably a little bit of that. But in the costuming world, like, we have a lot of pressure to look great in our costumes, just like we would normally.
Well, my first thought upon seeing you was definitely that you were hot, so.
What did you say?
I said my first thought upon seeing you was that you were hot, so you can take that for what it is.
Well, Corey, we already know where this is going. Like, your husband and my husband can sit next to each other in the movie theater and share their popcorn, and I'll just have to comfort you. Yeah. But today's podcast is brought to you by churros. And Rom, I'm so sorry about my bird. She gets excited when people are talking, so that's why I usually keep this on mute. You guys don't hear her doing that the whole podcast. But what I'm trying to get at is, guys, we actually need your support. Like, if your girl or your girlfriend or your friend who's a girl or your sister, mother, whatever, is excited about it, let them have it. Like, don't tear it down. Don't complain. Don't bitch about it. Let us have this place where women are actively trying to raise each other up, as opposed to bitching about, oh my God, I can't believe that girl has a skin tight flight suit on. She just wants people to look at her ass. Like, instead, we're like, hey, you look really good in that. You're rocking that. That's awesome. Where did you get that? Can you teach me how to make it? Like, it's really exciting. So if you're not quite sure why we have this, it's actually a really positive and awesome place for women to lift each other up. And we need that desperately.
I'm all for it. I mean,
I've heard nothing but good things about it so far. Like,
I honestly can't understand why someone would have a problem with that sort of thing, but I like to think I'm a pretty rational guy, so.
Yeah. I haven't really heard much grumbling as far as mercs are concerned. You know, I mean, we all wear the same styles, and, you know, there's only so much you can do, and the rest of it is all you. So there's not a lot of jealousy and upsetment. It's more along the lines of things like the costumes that are a little more standard, where they're like, well, why do you need to talk to other women when you can just talk to us? And that's not the point. The point is that, you know, you guys, like, men are gonna have to trim, like, their cod piece differently, because different things pinch in different places. And, you know, sometimes, you know, for women, two-piece flight suits are the way to go, but not everybody thinks about that. In fact, I've seen that question come up a lot about flight suits, and a lot of us will go, oh, you should totally do two pieces. And then they're like, oh, crap, I didn't even think about trying to go to the bathroom. Like,
it's true. No, it's overlooked by a lot of people. But yeah,
yeah,
it is definitely, I mean, I have a two-piece flight suit for the exact same reason. But yeah, it is definitely a little bit more key for a lady than it would be for me.
Yeah. I definitely made sure mine was two pieces. My second, my EC flight suit is one piece, and I can't stand it because I have to take everything off.
But yeah, how many, going back to you for a minute, how many official costumes do you have in the club right now?
Two. I have the legacy kit that I was approved in 2013, and then my EC was approved last year, maybe? I think it was last year, maybe the year before, recently.
Sweet.
I think it was right before Dragon Con in 2016, maybe, because I marched the parade in it. That one's been one of those that I keep upgrading and changing. My legacy kit hasn't changed since I started, but the EC has definitely been a labor of love to try to make all the pieces that I made look as good as the pieces that Sarah made.
All right. Well, I guess we can move on to the first big piece of Merc's news that we have here, and we do have quite a bit. The first thing is there's been a pretty big change down in Florida that I honestly was only aware of about a week ago. But I live up in my nice, quiet little Winter Wonderland up here in Maine. Bernar Verda clan is now House Bernar Verda? Is that how we're terming it?
That is.
Yeah, but the abbreviation we're using is BVH so that it doesn't sound like a sexually transmitted infection.
Well, what's... Oh, yeah. No, I just got it.
Yeah, there you go. That's why we're BVH.
We'll yeah, probably leave that part out, but yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, we do have three members of the various houses of Bernar Verda now, the BVH. So yeah, Corey, could you explain what the shift was and what the situation is now?
Well, BBC itself was sitting right around 100 members, and it got to the point where the Clan Alarad and the council kind of looked at it and said, hey, you know what? You guys have a lot of people to have to keep track of. So we put it to the clan and we asked them, you know, if everybody gets to keep the name, are you willing to split this clan up into smaller clans? And it was overwhelmingly yes. Not a unanimous decision by any means, because we do have a lot of people with a lot of differing opinions, which is great. But it did win. So we have 5 new clans down here in Florida. We split the north into northeast and northwest. The central part of Florida is east and west. And then there's a southern clan that covers the rest of the south of South Florida. They're all in the process.
Just the tip.
Yes, just the tip. Everybody except the East Clan is currently in the process of choosing new names. East Clan is in an Alarad election. But it's actually turning out to be really great. The whole point here was not to split up the clan and make it so that nobody could be friends anymore, or that nobody would see each other or troop together or whatever. Bernar Verda is still the family that it's always been. But now there are smaller units, so it's easier to administrate and easier to track everybody's troops, and armor parties can be, or even just clan level events can be a little more intimate, because you've only got, say, 20 or 30 people in your clan as opposed to the 100 we had before. So, and the great thing, at least as far as I'm concerned, is that the name Bernar Verda and the logo did not go away. So, you know, everything, like all the brand recognition that we've built in the last 10 years down here in Florida is all still valid. Everybody's still going to get new name. You know, all the new clans will get new names and new logos, but everyone is still allowed to use that house sigil and the house name, so that, you know, like a lot of the event organizers that we've worked with for years aren't suddenly having a new name sprung on them because something that they recognize still exists. And that was part of the reason that I fought so hard for there to actually be a house with with the name staying the same. And we're a pilot program right now just to see how it works out. And if it does, then someday it'll probably spread to the rest of the clan. It'll be the next evolution of the Mercs and give other clans the opportunity to keep that name and identity, but split to make it a little easier on everybody else.
So this doesn't replace the standard process of splitting a clan, though. This was specifically aimed for those clans that wanted to stay together as one group, but just got to the point where they'd grown so large that it was kind of unavoidable to split into some more smaller, more manageable pieces. The key thing is really that we're all still in the same club. You know, the clan, whether it's a small clan, a small-ish clan splitting and having a section split off and becoming another clan and having those areas still troop with each other, or having a large clan split into a bunch of smaller clans with the house system now, either way, you know, we're all still part of the same club. Everybody can still, you know, you can still cross those clan lines. There's no real lines that divide anybody. You know, if someone goes, you know, one state over, three states over, you know, a country and a half away, you know, we're all still part of the same club and we can all still troop together.
Yeah, troop.
So this is just the, you know, just for the appearance for the con organizers, like Corey said, as well as the coordination on the events level for the officers.
I like it. Let's see, because the next biggest clan, I haven't been able to keep up with the numbers. Like, how close, like, SVC was the next biggest for a little while? You guys were sort of leapfrogging member by member who was biggest.
I think Bok Chi's actually closest to us now.
Hang on, let me just check these.
I know Bok Chi is up there. They've been doing a great job over there.
So we have, skipping past those ones aren't clans. BVC was the largest, just shy of 100. Mandaglar clan is actually one of the largest now, with 78. Sorry,
still though
70. and then we have Vakshi clan has 58. Shinar Vakadla has 57. Great clan has 53. Talon clan has 50. Rancor with 49. Wolves of Mandalore with 47. Nas clan with 39. Gat Kerbez with 38. You know, there's quite a number of large sized clans. But I mean, you know, it all depends on how that clan handles things. You know, if they're able to keep it coordinated and want to stay as one clan, they can do that. If they want one chunk of them to split off to a new clan with a new name and leave the old clan with the old name, that works too. The house system is just for those where it's kind of like everybody wants to keep the name, but they just get to a point where they
trying to manage
with the limited staff
trying to have which is three. I mean, at that size, you usually have a few different Ruzalors, but having maybe five people manage that many members is quite a bit. I mean, I'm in one of the smaller clans in the Mercs, and I had a kind of a hard time doing that as Alarad for my 10 members.
Yeah. And it'll also depend on how many events they have too. You know, some clans definitely have more events that, per person versus others.
We're now going from almost 100 members managed by an Alarad, a Verilor, and three Ruslors to that same 100 people being managed by five Alarads, five Verilors, and five Ruslors. So we've increased the number of people that can help each other.
I think the largest clan now under the house shift is East Central with 33.
Indeed.
So still a sizable portion.
Yeah, but we also have to cover Orlando too, so.
Yeah, that is going to be a sizable chunk of people no matter what. So, yeah. So yeah, I'm sure next month we'll have the actual clan names. As Corey said, they were just deciding still, and they've got one election for the one clan as well. So we'll keep you guys posted on that come next month. And I think Ian's got some cool stuff coming up.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, we actually, some we started doing on Facebook, I want to say 2 years ago now, just a couple years. To go along with the NCAA March Madness basketball college tournaments, we decided to have our own little informal, fun competition, Mercs Madness on Facebook, where we pair up, you know, pairs of Mercs each day throughout March, and we have just the Facebook fans vote on who they think looks coolest. We're starting that up again this year, trying to remember who our winners were in the past. I believe Kellen Ord, I want to say, won the first year. photogenic man that he is. I am drawn a terrible blank on who won last year.
Well, you'll put up a recap of the previous years on the post when you get up the March stuff, right?
We will. Usually it goes the entire month of March or pretty close to, because it's usually somewhere around a 32-38 Merc bracket, depending on how many volunteers end up getting. And we go, and whoever wins, wins.
Is there a limit on how many people can throw their names in the ring?
Nope. I've just been taking applicants, and the only rules to be an applicant are I need a full body picture of you, or as close to. Members do need to be official members in good standing, and they need to have volunteered themselves. You know, you can't put in somebody else and put their picture up and, you know, have them win. And when they didn't want to be part of the competition, that's just not really cool. But we usually have a very good turnout every year. So I may eventually have to limit it to, say, 32 people just to get it done in a month. But figure out who gets to get in, but most people manage to get in as long as the photos are a nice quality that I can put up. And that's, I will put out that we, I'm the only one who selects the photos for the most part, just for sake of time at this time. But the main criteria I have is, will the photo go up on Facebook, and can people see who you are in the photo? Because it wouldn't be very fair of me to put a photo of somebody up that you can't see who they are and put them up against someone who has a brightly lit, easy to see photo. You know, just not really, it's not really a fair thing.
So just some standard quality photo requirements.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're not talking app photos. You know, it doesn't need to be this rigid set template of photos, but you know. And the only other thing, the other big question we've gotten is, there isn't really a prize. This isn't a contest per se. Like, no, the winner just basically gets bragging rights for, you know.
Sure there is. The prize is a sense of pride and accomplishment.
Well, sure. And I mean, it is honestly, I will
you.
Say,
so
like,
it is beautiful.
He is.
I just wanted to get the EA reference in there.
Yeah, I found last year's winner.
But yeah.
Would they win a churro?
It was Fitz Kalad.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
You had a great photo too.
Yes,
we could give them a churro.
He really did. That's yeah. That'll be that should be the prize. I'll mail one, you know, supermarket churro to the winner of the competition, whether you like it or not. But yeah, now there's no like forum badge or. There's certainly no monetary prize or anything. It's just bragging rights and personal pride saying, yeah, out of these 30 something mercs, the internet thought I was the coolest looking one. And, you know,
just for fun.
It's just a fun thing to do. Something good to help, awesome. Help bring traffic to the Mercs Facebook page, help get people aware of what we're doing and how cool we look. Cause
yeah,
cool. Let's be honest.
Speaking of winning stuff,
indeed,
the May 4th awards are coming up soon.
Indeed.
So for those that don't know, that's an annual thing. And there are both awards generated based on your trooping stats, as well as awards that are the Mando choice, where Cadenda Rooney, the CAO, will post up in the lounge, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
A bunch of threads asking for participants. And that's kind of a similar to the Mercs. The March Mercs Madness thing, where you just go based on volunteers, and then it's a voting, popular vote, just for some fun. As far as the categories, I think that's up to Cadenda Rooney to post those up, but he should be putting those up fairly soon. I don't know exactly when he does that. If they haven't been posted up, well, then no, they'll definitely be posted up by April. So on the next podcast, we'll point you guys in the right direction for that.
Yeah.
But the important thing though is that with May 4th awards. Make sure that you're telling your clan officers about your trooping info, because they need to be submitting those troop reports. That way the stats can be compiled in time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, usually it's, I know that we've had things like things along the lines of... you know, walking tank, which I believe has been retired because Dresden wins every year. You know, the quote unquote scariest Mando, most weathered, which I think usually goes to Dresden too. you know, things like that. Like they'll make up a bunch of neat categories. Usually there's also voting on what categories are going to be voted on. So there's, you know,
I think crowd involved. I think one was like best newbie.
Yeah,
so rookie, just for people that are brand new members.
So there's a lot of cool ones, and those usually do come with forum badges that you can put right on your forum profile and display proudly to the internet.
Yes, yeah, all the May 4th awards have little awards that are part of the forum system.
It's one of these days I may end up asking for the art team to make one of those for Mercs Madness, but it is definitely a cool little thing. If that's if you've ever wondered how you get those cool little badges under your forum tag, trooping number one is usually a great way to do that, and taking part in those awards is usually a great other way. Speaking of cool things on the on your forum profile, supporter tags are going to be reset at the for the year. Is that also on May 4th when that goes through?
Nope, that'll be done early March. It tends to vary year to year. Pretty much always it ends up being longer than a year, just because no matter. So I have to reset them all manually. Little bit of context. So if you donated. You got your supporter tag in the last few months. I'm not going to reset it on you because obviously that wouldn't be very fair for you to get it suddenly right then at the end. The supporter tag donations all go towards the operations fund, which helps us afford the Merc server, other technical costs like any cost that would be incurred by, say, the Battle Cry, the podcast, the various different programs and projects that we have underway. As well as sometimes those funds also go towards, say, like Celebration or MercsCon, that kind of stuff. So by you donating, that helps us continue to do the awesome stuff we do, including, you know, keeping that website up where you're finding the podcast and being able to get, you know, be part of the club, because that's kind of important, having the site up. So we reset those. The moment the winter holidays hit, people are busy, and it just seems to carry right on through. You know, the moment it's the new year, We have got new documents or updates to the governing documents. We've got the start of the Conclave Minister election, followed by the Regional Commander election, followed by the Allaret elections, which are just wrapping up now, which is the end of February. So you can see, there's a decent amount of stuff happening in the first few months. And then, so every year it seems supporter tags shift a little bit. So you pretty much always get a couple extra months at the end. For those that donate kind of at the towards the tail end too, we appreciate the donation. We're not gonna make you re-up right away. So those will be reset soon. If you see it vanish, that's why. We do appreciate that donation though. And if you did end up kind of at a weird cutoff time, sorry. I gotta pick a date at some point. So I try and give it a little bit of leeway though on that. So that's that. But another news for the tech side, the clan sites have also gotten a facelift. So those are going to be have been rolling out, and the last of them should be converted over probably by the time this goes up, and then the renewal for those will be going up. So if you got no idea what that is, some of the clans have a clan site. Veshok.mandalorianmercs.org is a good example, so you can go check that out. That is the clan of Jangar, who is also my tech exo. He's the one that's been doing a lot of hard work, if not all the hard work on that. So he's been doing a great job updating those and making them look sweet. And so if you're curious what it looks like all decked out, that's the place to check it out at. And then I think Corey has something.
All right. Excuse me. We are running the semi-annual club fundraiser. The patch is in the store. This year we did 4 pieces. In a shape of a helmet. You buy all 4 pieces and you get 4 entries. Buy 1 piece, you get 1 entry. You'll get an entry for each piece. The drawing will be on March 3rd, Saturday, March 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. I need to post the YouTube link, but it will be broadcast live on YouTube so that no one can accuse us of trying to cheat. Everyone is being assigned a number. I went through and assigned numbers to everyone because I was lazy and didn't do it yet. So I did it yesterday, and we have already assigned 816 numbers.
Wow.
Yeah. So, wow. And we've got 29 prizes. Ranging. And yeah.
Those
and
are
those
good
are
odds.
Really great prizes too. The big, yeah. Why
prize
am I
list.
Not looking at the prize? Right here.
The prize list is in the announcement section while Corey goes and looks at it to tell you more about the prizes.
The Mandalore, Tom, he got to go to the premiere of what was the last one? The Last Jedi. Sorry. Oh my god.
Last Jedi.
Yeah, so he went to the premiere of The Last Jedi and they grabbed somebody from Mandalore and she stood down there next to where all the celebrities were walking and got a whole bunch of autographs on a banner that he gave her, and that is in the grand prize. He also grabbed a bunch of popcorn buckets, so there's one there. He autographed his premiere badge, so that's going to be in there. I've got a copy of the Bounty Hunter Code that's autographed by one of the authors, Jason Fry. And NME has donated a helmet as well. So that's all the grand prize. And first prize is the First Order Dreadnought. The thing is almost a foot long, and they only made 200 of them. Yeah, it's over a foot long. They only made 200 of them. This one is still mint in box from the premiere, and that was the only way you could get one of those 200. And Tom got an extra, so he's giving it to somebody.
yeah, Jang measured his. Apparently 14 nice. Inches long. Yeah, just over a foot, which is
he's got some other stuff massive. In there from the premiere, from his visit to Skywalker Ranch not long ago. We've got a bunch of helmets in there. The dog fighting drones from Propel. There's the X-Wing and the TIE fighter. I have the which one did I have, John? The speeder bike. I have the speeder bike. Yeah, the biker scout. They are really cool. Like, there's no reason for a biker scout to be a dogfighter, and the whole point is to be dogfighting. So I really think that the speeder bike might not have been the best one to go with. But either way, it still looks really cool, and the thing can do a barrel roll once you figure out how to work it. There's different like stages on how advanced you get as you like work your way through the controls, and there's safety things on there so you can't like smash yourself in the face with those little propellers, and which I did. And then it also has this really cool feature where you can download an app onto your phone, and then you plug your phone into the controller, and you can use the controller to play a game that they've created on your phone. So that one, my daughter loves that feature, actually. then we've got a whole bunch that's of really other cool. stuff that's, you know, just stuff that was donated by our, yeah, the list definitely goes on. And once I got the thing up, I had more people sending me messages going, man, can I give you stuff to donate? So we've got 29 prizes. And,
like, yeah, we've got custom blasters, custom capes, a bunch of helmets. Woodchuck has at least one thing in here, so he's still doing his thing. Like, soundboards, electronics,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
this
there's
is
nothing bad
an
in here.
Awesome amount of stuff. Oh yeah, no, any of this on its own would be really cool, and some of it comes in like combos,
yep.
So it's pretty rad.
I really wish I could win, but I am not eligible. So,
rather than us reading out
yes.
every single thing, though, forums announcement section, post by Corey, fundraiser. You'll find
yeah.
it.
No, it's and we have links to it up on Facebook and Twitter, so they're easy to find. It's a very very reasonable price to get a chance at any of these items, and it's all going to a great cause. Us.
This is open to all forum members. The money is going into the operational fund, and
anybody.
Probably. It'll help offset the costs for the server and all those other projects we were talking about earlier, and probably going to go into the very ambitious celebration plan we're working on. The planning committee is just getting going, so we'll wait and see how that turns out.
So I guess
that's all our
yeah,
merchants.
That's all I had.
Yeah.
So moving on to the Star Wars. Everybody's seen the Solo trailer at this point.
Yep.
Well, I mean, whether or not you watch the Super Bowl or not, I know for a fact that we shared it on Facebook and Twitter. So if you follow us there, you definitely had an opportunity to see it. It looks like Star Wars to me.
It's also playing in front of Black Panther
oh, yeah.
right now, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Which, by the way, a little bit off topic, but if you haven't seen Black Panther yet, go do so. It is really good.
Oh, totally missing out again.
It's amazing. It's a really, really
oh, yeah.
fantastic
it is really
movie.
Good.
So good.
It's on my list.
Yeah, I went and saw it on Sunday.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's you're gonna love
yep,
it.
It's
good.
Great.
My roommate is seeing it right now.
It's so sweet of you that you stayed for
yes,
the podcast instead
that's,
of going
that's
to see
touching.
It.
Well, no,
that's exactly what happened.
See,
yeah.
No. I didn't know she was going to see it until after she goes, oh, you're doing your podcast tonight, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go see Black Panther then. Oh.
Well,
That's
wait cool. And go to downtown Orlando. There's one in like this heart of like the, near I Drive, and they've got recliners in the theater, so you can go over there and sit in a nice comfy chair and watch an awesome movie. And then we can go see Solo there in May.
That's okay. I cannot wait for Solo. I'm so excited.
Yeah, let's talk Solo. No. But big thing along with that trailer, they did finally give us a full date. It's May 25th, so it's coming up quick. I really expected them to keep doing the trend that they've been doing. I know that they've been shooting for May releases for all of these movies, and they keep getting moved to December. I thought they were just gonna just say, you know, right, enough of it. Yeah. Let's just go right for December the whole time. Just stay all the way through. But no, no, we're getting like back to back Star Wars this calendar year.
Yeah, I really like getting Star Wars for the holidays.
I mean, same. Like, I mean, I'm not mad that I'm getting two Star Wars movies within 6 months of each other. But I mean, at the same time, like, what am I gonna do in December now? Like, I got nothing.
Does this mean we're getting a year and a half drought of Star Wars movies?
Well, it's not in December, and it's a bit of a segue, and we'll come back to it later. But you could go to MerxCon.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm gonna get my fair share of Star Wars by the end of the year. But you know, if like
I have to say, that,
the timing on that, I just had to put that in there.
I have to say that is a real sign of the times when we have to complain about a year drought of Star Wars when. How many years was it between the prequels and Return of the Jedi?
Almost 30, like 20
back
years.
Back in my day. Like.
Yeah. So I'm, here's my thing. I'm cool with getting Star Wars back to back like this. I am the exact sellout shill that Disney wants right now. Because I am so beyond excited for the Solo film. Like, everything about it, it's Han Solo, and that was always my favorite character as a kid. It's not the mystic and spiritual Jedi stuff. It's all Han Solo, Lando, Chewie. It looks like a heist movie, and that just, and in Star Wars, just sounds fun. And I am so excited for it. Let me put it this way. If you get a chance, out on YouTube somewhere, there's a trailer cut where they took the trailer and dubbed over it with Beastie Boys. What's the name of the song?
Sabotage?
Sabotage, yes. I don't even like the Beastie Boys. I mean, they've got a couple of songs and whatever, but I've never been a big fan of the Beastie. I am so double hyped for this movie after watching that trailer with Sabotage. It is amazing. It goes so well together. So, I mean,
let's be honest. That song, like, I do like the Beastie Boys, and that song really makes quite a bit of things better. Like, the Eric's not here, so I'll talk Star Trek for everybody. So the most recent Star Trek movie, Into Darkness, Sabotage is prominently featured at the climax of the film. And I'm like, yes, this is good.
It deserved to be here.
But oh yeah, no, it totally did. But yeah, going back to Han Solo, like, this, the trailer, it did everything that I wanted. We got a little bit of the Falcon. We got to see Lando looking awesome.
Like, yeah, Lando.
Looking so suave.
Yes,
so
Donald Glover. I think they named,
like, we got a little bit of Chewie. We got Han apparently applying to be an Imperial pilot. I did...
running scams since he was a kid on the streets.
I did get a little bit like I started singing the Pokemon theme when I saw it the first time. It was just like, what are you gonna do? Like, I'm gonna be the pilot. I'm gonna be the very best. Like, no one ever wants to fly them. It's my real test. And so on and so forth. Then I went back to watching football. Yeah. But nerd. Wait, we got nerds in this club?
Would any of us
on a podcast
be here otherwise?
Crazy, right?
Oh man. Like, but no, it's like, it's, I was always on board for for more Star Wars. I admit I was one of those people who was a little bit hesitant with the when they initially released, when they said that they were doing the Han Solo, because it is such a big character. Like, what if they mess it up? And yeah, with the production history that this one has had, going through, you know, literally three directors, because it was two the first time. And it made me, you know, I was a little concerned. But I think Ron Howard is going to help, is, you know, put this right back where it needs to go. And I'm jazzed. I want to organize a theater troupe like yesterday.
I thought the trailer was really well done, or the teaser rather, I should say, was really well done.
Oh, the teaser before the trailer.
It gives you, well, just the teaser of Solo, or I don't know, is it officially a trailer?
I honestly don't
first
know
thing?
The difference.
I consider it a teaser kind of just teases you, and a trailer is a longer showing where you've got more of like complete clips. I quite like what they've currently put out, which is just a bunch of small little snippets, and it doesn't give away too much. Because that's always my problem, is I don't watch trailers. Like, I don't watch the, oh yeah, the movie's coming out in 2 months, here's the first look at the big trailer. And because then they give you like 20 second chunks of the actual movie. But yeah, this teaser, or if it's a trailer, this trailer, whatever it's called that they put out, has me super excited. I don't feel like it's given away too much yet. And I'm probably not going to look at anything else for Solo until the movie comes out. Fortunately, that's just still May 25th.
I think there's been progress in trailers ever since Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, came out, and they all didn't show anything that happened past like the first 20 minutes of the movie in the trailer. Now they've all, like, it's like a light bulb went on in Hollywood, and they're like, man, we totally shouldn't give away the story. And so they've been showing a little less, and it's been nice.
I don't know. Last Jedi's actual trailer, I saw it after. Yeah, that would have been spoiling
too much. I don't know.
They
gave us a few red herrings in there. Like, I think they're doing good.
Yeah, I watched it afterwards. I saw what the red herrings were being referred to now, but
she didn't know at the start.
Like the not knowing.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying, like the not knowing part.
Speaking of not knowing, there's a pretty heavy rumor going around in the video game world. What with all of the issues that EA has had over the past year. There's a pretty heavy rumor that Disney and LFL have reached out to the other big game developers, Ubisoft and Activision, about getting back into some Star Wars games. To be fair, I don't know if Ubisoft has ever done Star Wars games, but I know that Activision did have a few going with the Lucasfilm banner.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to rack my brain now. Whether or not the rumors are true, or whether or not it's going to go anywhere, I think it's kind of nice to see at least that they're putting it out there. It's like, no, yeah, you don't have a monopoly on the market. We could go somewhere else if need be. So I'm hoping it at least inspires people to put a little more effort in on some of the stuff.
Like,
So. We'll see how that goes. Without going too far into what we previously discussed.
Yeah, here we go. Here's Activision, in any case, actually was a lot of these names will make a lot of people smile. Star Wars Bounty Hunter, the Jedi Academy series, Republic Commando. Yep.
Oh, there we go.
Yep.
Why did I not
those
remember that
were in the early 2000s. Activision came, like, gave us some real good Star Wars games, so we can all hope to go back to that. I honestly, like, the games themselves that EA's been putting out, they've been putting out good games, and there have been a lot of bad Star Wars games in the past. So I appreciate the concept of trying to put all of these games under one banner, but yeah, I think it's time to sort of diversify a little bit, maybe get a few more studios involved and try and keep the fan base happy.
I'd be really happy to see a good first person shooter, you know, with blasters and stuff, like, get away from the lightsabers, maybe
the third person.
Yeah, but not, and then, but not also, like, I don't even, I haven't played that one, but I don't want to play against other people. I like having a campaign where I can go do stuff by myself. because
yeah, I do
I
miss that.
Awful at yeah. PvP. I love to do it, but I am awful. Like my kill death ratios are terrible, but I enjoy doing it. But if I